Hi, Digby Wesleyan. We're so glad that you could join us this Sunday for a time of worship, and I hope that it encourages your heart as we glorify Jesus and the work that he has done in our lives. And let's start off this morning with some prayer. Father, I want to say thank you that we can join together today, even if it's online. We want to say thank you that you are with us no matter where we are in the world. We want to say thank you that you touch us, that you are mindful of us, that you are longing to use us each and every day. And Father God, I'm so thankful that you have a plan for us. So Lord, as we sing these songs, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that we would be lifted. And Lord, I pray that all of hell would quake. And so Lord, come and have your way in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, everybody. I want to start our service with Come and Fill Me Up. And I know this week it's been we started to open up a few things, and so it's been a little bit better for people as people are adjusting to things being open a little differently now. And so that's exciting for us. And I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us today. And so this is why I chose this song. And wherever you are, may he rest with you as well in your presence and bless our time here in worship. So let's start our service with Come and Fill Me Up. Is a newer song for us. We've done it a few times in our church, and it's by one of my favorite bands called Third Day, and it just again proclaims that we really need to be on fire for Christ, and even now more in these days as we're seeing people frustrated and tired and not understanding things, but we know and we hold that faith that God has everything in control. And if you know this song, just join in. If you don't, just listen to the words. It's called Soul on Fire.
Thank you. when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart.
An older song, and it's called Because He Lives, and this is a request from my mom. So, hi, Mom. I miss you. Sorry. I'm not able to go see her. So, soon, though, we'll get to see each other.
Murray, I miss you, buddy.
Don't listen to him. Anyway, I wanted to do this for her because it's one of her favorite songs, so we're gonna try this, and I'm sure you'll know it.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon, an empty grave. My Savior lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds a future. Still, the
Last song is one we as a church have been doing for a long while and probably one of our favorites. I get many comments on this one, not because of anything I'm doing, but because of the words. I was listening to Zach Williams' album this week, and he's a guy that sings this song. And he likes to go into prisons and do worship sets with guys that he can relate to because he wasn't always a Christian and had a pretty rough background. And when he was commenting about this song, he said, just imagine for a moment a table that's longer than the eye can see. And there's a seat for everybody there, but there's a lot of empty seats. And as I was listening to that, I was thinking, why are there so many empty seats? It's because we aren't willing to sit in those seats, whether it's because of shame, pride, ignorance, frustration at church, or even God and not understanding the truth that he holds. But it's free, it's there. Your name is sitting there just waiting for you. We should be running to that table and sitting there. But we so often have fears and sorrow and things that keep us from him when he's just ready and waiting. Wherever you're at, the table isn't for those that are perfect, those that are rich, those that are famous. Not just for those people. All those people are welcome as well. But sometimes we get this idea that we have to fix ourselves all up before we sit at that table. And that's not what he asks. He just wants you to come and sit there. And then you guys will work on those things with him together. And so this is what this song is about. Just listen to the words and to sing it out. Our congregation, as I'm sure you well know it,
hear the voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything that you're going through. You keep standing at a distance in the shadows of your shame, but there's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? So bring it all to the table. Thank you.
That you know that the Lord welcomes you into his presence and that he is as close as the mention of his name. We hope that you'll stay with us as we open the word of God this morning and that you would study with us. Let's pray together. Father, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you that you are mindful of us. Lord, we pray that you would just be with all that are unsettled in our land and in our globe. Lord, from pandemics to race wars, to instability in governments and to broken homes and individuals. You see it all, and you are still the answer. So, Father, have your way in us, I pray. And please come and heal our land. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, church. We're excited that you could join us again. For those of you who haven't, we've been working our way through James. A very challenging, very hard book to read, and I think it's been good for us. I think it's been good for our souls. So if you have your Bible, we want you to turn to James chapter 4. We're going to start reading at verse 13 and only through to 17. We're going to finish this up today. And this whole chapter talks about boasting about tomorrow. That would be the headline in most of your Bibles. But it's really contrasting our plans versus God's plans. So this whole idea, who knows best? Well, James gets right to the heart of it. So let's read it, and then we'll start from there. Starting at verse 13, it says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins."
Mm. Bah. Yeah, it's a whole lot to unpack there. And I know at the surface when we look at this, like, and I've even talked with some people about this piece of scripture. On the surface, when he's saying, you know, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? Someone could look at that and be like, well, why would I plan anything? Why does it matter? Why, you know? But planning is good, guys. Like, we want to hit that right off the top here, is that planning is really important. And I think of some really basic examples for that. As a student in school right now, if I don't plan for a test and exam, I'm going to get a terrible mark. Like, I need to plan for those things. And if you have a job, like, you got to plan out your schedule. Maybe you don't have that complex of a schedule. You still got to plan out even what you're going to eat that day. Like, things like that. You got to plan out when you're going to get your groceries, when you're going to get your gas throughout the week, when you're going to pay your bills, all these things. And if they don't take planning, you're going to be hungry, you're going to go into financial chaos, yeah. and you're going to run out of gas on the highway. Okay, all those things will happen if you don't plan. Things like going on a trip, you're going to plan out your itinerary. You don't want to get stranded on some island somewhere because you ran out of money. Right? And for some reason, when a pandemic comes, you plan to never run out of toilet paper by buying every single roll in Digby County, which I still don't understand, but I'm clearly not upset by that. Anyway, this year's been weird. Anyway, Jesus even addresses this idea of planning. If we want to take his spin on it, he was trying to give a parable on what it meant to follow him. And what it meant to give everything up and the cost it was going to take for our life. And the illustration that he gave us when he talks about this, in Luke 14, 28 to 33, Jesus said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, well, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. And then Jesus goes on to give an example of a king who's preparing to go into battle, and he has 10,000 men. He's dumb if he doesn't try and figure out how that battle plays out when the other side has 20,000. Strategy, planning, it all needs to take place. And if that king realizes that he's not going to win that battle, then he has to plan out a way to come up with peaceful resolution. And so this, even when I was thinking of that, this idea of even battle and planning that out, Winston Churchill said something absolutely brilliant when he said, he who fails to plan, plans to fail. And so planning is super important. We need to take James at his context here and what he's trying to say for this specific situation.
He's actually amplifying the plan. Like, planning is good. The problem is not with planning. The planning has to be given by the ultimate planner,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
So it comes down to this. I can formulate a plan, but in my wisdom and in my limited knowledge, and like James says, I can't see tomorrow, I'm bound to fail if I'm the one making the plan. What James is kind of pushing us to do, he's saying, you don't even know what tomorrow holds. Your life is so short. Why in the world do you think you know the way?
Yeah.
We need to be seeking the one who can really make a plan that'll work. A plan that will be effective, a plan that will echo through eternity. And so he's challenging us to kind of get our eyes on to God and not our own wisdom. And again, time is short. Like I'm understanding this way more than Kirtland, right? When I find it hard to move in the morning and get up and I find aches and pains and all those sorts of things, I'm reminded that I'm not long for this earth, so to speak, right? Like, we got to die. And even Psalms talks about that. Like, you know, we're kind of told that 70 years is going to be our average. What James is saying is, what are you going to do with that time? That time is short. The older I get, the more that makes sense. That life is so short, and we're only here for a little while. He says it's like a mist. It vanishes. And that's true. So if that is true, and this time is short, it should be urgent. And if it's urgent, what is it urgent about? Mm. Like, what are we doing? I think of Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says that the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And so again, this idea that we have to have a plan, but we should be going to God to make sure that he establishes those steps so that we can move forward in the confidence that only heaven can bring, right? Too often the problem is, as I see man fighting God. Like, we forget that truth in Jeremiah 29 that it says he has a plan for us. So made in God's image, we want to be problem solvers. Made in God's image, we want to come up with our own plan, right? Made in God's image, we want to do, and we think that that's the solution. The problem with that is that James says, you don't even know what tomorrow holds. Yeah. And so don't plan with your wisdom. Like, Adam had things going on, and then he decided that he knew better, and all of a sudden, here we are in 2020, and everything's falling apart, right? I think of Jonah. God had a plan. Jonah didn't want to listen. He ends up in the belly of the fish. I think of David. When he was listening to God, he was slaying giants. Mm. When he wasn't listening to God, he was having an affair with one of his mighty men, one of his best friends, wife, and their baby died, and the whole mess that followed. Moses. Excuse me. That's the change of the weather. That's not corona.
Sure hope not.
Yeah. But I think of Moses, like, in all seriousness, when he was listening to God, then there was manna that was provided from heaven, there was quail that was provided from heaven, the people were eating, and then they came to this place where they didn't have water, And God gave Moses very clear instructions. He said, speak to the rock, assemble the people, speak to the rock, and water's going to come forth.
Yeah.
And Moses, in his frustration, again, his humanity, he gets the people together and he's mad, and it says he strikes the rock twice. And instead of commanding the rock, he hits the rock. Water does come forth because God is gracious and merciful. But in that moment, him and God have a conversation, and he says, buddy, you didn't listen. You led them all this way, but you're not going to finish the trip. You're not going to take them into the promised land. And I think about that. Wow, again, God knows what's best. Why do we doubt that? God knows how things will work. Why do we doubt that, right?
Yeah, and I think what's cool is when that can come naturally for us. When it can come natural to align our plans with God's will, there's something really beautiful that comes out of that. And I see that just briefly in Acts 18, and this involves Paul. I'll read it for you guys real quick. Chapter 18, 19 to 21, it says, they arrived at Ephesus where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, I'll come back if it's God's will. And then he set sail from Ephesus. It was natural for Paul to say, guys, I would love for this. This is great. If I can make it back, I will, but it's up to God. Right? This is according to God's will. And it really did remind me of something that my grandfather, my granddad, he would say all the time. And I never really got it when I was younger. And I thought it was just his way of being funny. But after he would say anything, it was almost like it was anything he would say, Lord willing, right? And I try and make plans with him after school. We going out in the woods after school, go fishing, whatever. Yeah, Lord willing, if I'm still here. And I don't know, he ended up passing away at a young age, which is terrible, but he knew that his life was dependent on God's will and God's plan, and he was completely okay with that. And he lived such a content and happy life. It's evident in the way that he lived that God's will was so much more important than his own. And you know, naturally, we want to have control. We want to put God's will aside. Like we were even talking earlier, James is talking about businessmen here. Naturally, we want to separate things we see as important on this earth aside from faith. If it's important business, I'm taking care of my business, and I'll worry about faith afterwards. Faith needs to be a part of everything that we do in our life. But naturally, because we're made in God's image, we want to have control. God has control of this universe. We want to have control of our world. Right? The problem is we don't know the things that God knows. He has access to information that we don't have access to. And, you know, he's known when you were going to take your first breath. And as eerie as it may feel, he knows when you're going to take your last. So we're foolish if we don't submit to his will and recognize that his will is the most important for our lives, and it's going to go above and beyond our own will, you know, as far as the value of our life goes.
That's right, and even our own understanding. Like, I think of that place in Isaiah 55 when God says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And again, like, using that example, James uses business. We plan for business because we think it's important, but in the end, it's going to be left behind. Like, are we investing in business? Are we investing in titles? Are we investing in records? Like, I think of the world, and it's chasing its own tail.
Yeah.
Like, our athletes and everything else, they'll do anything to get a record because they want to be remembered.
Yeah.
We'll do anything to build a bigger building so that we can beat the Joneses or so that we can be in the record books, right? We'll do anything to broker the deal. And in the end, what is that all about? It's all about chasing fairy tales, right? Like, what's important? And I come back to Francis Chan.
Yeah,
I love his writing. One of the books that I want to challenge you to read even today is called Crazy Love. And I've used this quote before, but he said this in Crazy Love. He said, do you not know that nothing you do in this life will ever matter unless it is about loving God and loving the people that he has made? And I was thinking about that in context of James here. James has given us this great big insight, and I don't want us to miss it. He's saying, think about this again. He's reminding us that we don't know what tomorrow will hold, but we can follow the one who holds tomorrow. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's this principle that, again, we can't plan for tomorrow, but we know the plan for eternity. So what are you going to invest in? The thing you don't know or the thing that you know the outcome of? And it's this reality that if we as believers would invest in the eternal, we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. So why not spend a day pointing to eternity? Why not spend a day loving God and loving his people and loving those who have yet to know him? Because the only thing we can take with us from this life is those whom we point to Jesus. Everything I own, I'm going to leave behind. The only thing I take with me are those who I've pointed to Jesus. And so as an evangelist in my heart, I get very excited about changing the landscape of heaven by using today wisely. And I ask us that at the church all the time. How has heaven changed because you've been given another day on planet Earth? And I think James is kind of getting there. He's saying this idea of, you worry about this life, you worry about business, you worry about where you're going to be and what you're going to do. Do you not know that your life is like a mist? It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Do you not know that the only one that we can trust in making the plan is God himself?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we try so hard to align with God's will even. And you know, thinking of another example from Paul, even in a time where he thought he was doing the right thing and he thought he was following the will of God, God is very, very specific. And God has very specific plans for our lives. And this example here coming out of Acts 16, it's actually a story of him going and he's trying to further the gospel. And he's traveling on a trip to spread the word of Jesus. And it says, chapter 16, 6 to 10, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. And I just find that very, very interesting that even in an act of seemingly following God, following the will of the Father, the Spirit was very specific. Paul, you're not to go in there. I know you're spreading the word, and I know you're teaching people and you're leading people to Christ, but no, that's not my plan. That can seem very confusing to us when we think we're on the straight and narrow and we think we're doing the right thing, but that's our will. That's our will. It's not the Father's will. And so we need to be seeking his will, because even though what we see ahead of us looks good, what God sees for us is a whole lot better. Who knows what would have been waiting for Paul, whether it be death or whether, who knows, right? We don't know, but the Spirit didn't want him to go in there. Had bigger and better plans.
Yeah, his intentions were right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what trumps even our right intentions? It would be the will of God. Yeah. And you know what? I get into that debate sometimes with believers, and I say, what is the will of God? And people will kind of go, oh, I don't know. And you think about that. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. What is the will of God? For me, that's so clear, because God has given me an evangelistic heart. The will of the Father is this, that none should perish, right? To me, that's so clear. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why the death and resurrection. The will of the Father is that none should perish. And so often, we miss his will and we make our own plans. And verse 16 and 17, James is very clear. He continues kind of the chastisement. He kind of says, you know what? If anyone, you boast about your arrogant schemes and they're evil, right? If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin. So again, this idea of, you know, God is very specific, but there's also that general rule that we should be doing good. That's why I said Paul's intentions were good to go here, but God was very specific. You're not going there yet. You're going here now.
Yeah.
And I think about that. Like, God is that, has that big of a design for us, right? Yeah. And that whole principle, to not do what we know we're supposed to do, it's sinful. And this, you guys know that I have an artsy-fartsy side. I love to draw, I love to sketch, I love to write, I love to paint, I love to do all those things. I don't always take time to do that, which I'm trying to make more time to do those things. But this is a poem that I found several years ago, and I really love it. It's called The Setting of the Sun. But it talks about this idea of delaying what we know we should do. And James calls it sin, but listen to this. It's a very beautiful way of saying what James is saying. It said, it isn't the thing you do, it's the thing you leave undone, which gives you a bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. The tender word forgotten, the letter you did not write, The flower you might have sent are haunting ghosts tonight. The stone you might have lifted out of a brother's way, the bit of heartsome counsel that you were too harried to say, the loving touch of the hand, the gentle, winsome tone that you had not time or thought for with troubles of your own. The little acts of kindness so easily out of mind, those chances to be helpful, which everyone may find. No, it's not the things you do, it's the things you leave undone, which give you a bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. You know, that poem has always spoke to me because it's basically echoing what James is saying, that if there is good around us to do, why aren't we doing it? If there's good around us to do, not doing that good is actually a sin. Like, that's so strong. But again, James has a way with words of trying to get our attention, and he's trying to shake the church into action, into motion. He's trying to wake them, right? This idea that if we know the good we ought to do and we don't do it, it's sin. And a lot of times, you know what, I'm sad, but as we chase our own plans, as we chase our own will, there's a lot of times I think the things of eternity get missed.
Yeah, and I even with you saying that sin of omission kind of thing, it's very, very, it comes right to my mind when I think of Jesus separating the sheep and the goat.
Yeah.
You know, this idea of when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I needed shelter, right, you gave me a home. Yeah. Paraphrasing, of course, right? But that's very, very important. It's not just about the specifics, but in general, it's about recognizing those needs, not being silent, and stepping up to the plate as Christians.
Well, even when we say not being silent, I know that this is really fresh, but everything that's going on in the world today, you know, the divide that's happening down south, we're seeing the black and white community very divided. And some people are saying, enough already. And some people are saying, you've got to be kidding me. This is never going to be enough until we see change. And I think the white community especially is learning that our silence, that omission can be damning, right? You know, we see this officer kneeling on Floyd until his breath is gone while other officers watched.
Yeah.
And the point is this, is sometimes not doing anything is the sin, right? And so be moved to action. You know, I'm not saying that flippantly. Like, there's a lot of people around the world, not just in America, that you know, we talk about white privilege, and some people who are white, they roll their eyes when I talk about that. No, we need to listen, and we need to act, and we need to speak up when we see injustice, and we need to show kindness, and so all of those things are true. You know, I feel like it's kind of timely that we're on that portion of scripture, and we're closing Absolutely. With that today. But just that for us to think about, right? We need to be thinking about all of those issues. We need to be moving when God asks us to move. We need to be acting when God asks us to act. We need to be speaking up when God asks us to speak up. We need to be a part of the solution and not part of the problem. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do this. I want to pray with us today. We're a little shorter today, which is probably some of you are saying amen. I don't even think Neil had a chance to fall asleep. Larry's probably still doing his hair.
Yeah.
All those things. Anyway, let's pray. Father God, I want to say thank you for James. I want to say thank you for his hard words. Lord, I want to say thank you that you can convict us at any moment, and we give you permission. Lord, I pray that we, the church, would always be ready to be obedient, that we, the church, would always be ready to change, that we, the church, would always be ready to hear you, to let your plans interfere with our lives. Lord, they're not our lives. We've been bought with a price. It's no longer Andrew that lives. I pray that we'd be there. Lord, that we would not be worried about our business and worried about this short life. Lord, when it comes to our plans, instead we'd be giving it all to you and investing in the eternal. So, Father God, help us to see what you see, and to hurt and yearn for what you hurt for and yearn for. Lord, help us to desire your will always. Always your will and not ours. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys for joining us. We hope that you'll join us again next week.